This week we are going to discuss Parshas Dvorim, and we are going to discuss the first pasuk of the Parsha. The Parsha starts, Ela ha-Dvorim, asher diber Moshe, el kol Yisrael. These are the words that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to all the Jewish people. Be'ever ha-Yarden, in the other side of the Jordan. Rashi explains that these are divrei techocha, words of rebuke. And instead of Moshe Rabbeinu rebuking them directly, he does it by hinting to the places where they committed sins. He does it derech remiza, through hints. And Rashi explains that the reason he does that so is because of the honor of the Jewish people, that it is not proper to rebuke the Jewish people directly by disclosing their crimes in clear form. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu only does it through hints by disclosing the places where they committed those sins. Like that, the Jewish people will remember the places and they will repent. The verse continues, Bamidbar, Rashi explains that this is the rebuke of what they did in the desert when they said in Shmos chapter 16, where there it says in verse number 2, Vayiloinu ka'adas bnei Yisrael al Moshe ve'laharim Bamidbar, that the entire assembly of the Jewish people complained against Moshe and Aharon in the desert. And they told to them, Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people, meaning that the Jewish people complained to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, if only we had died in the hands of Hashem in the land of Egypt, asira basar, as we sat in the pot of meat, lechem la, when we ate bread and we became sated, that you took us out instead to this desert, lahamis eskola kol hazeh berav, to kill all these people in the famine. And at that time Hashem gave them the man, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu was rebuking them for them not trusting Hashem and them complaining against Hashem. Barava, for what they did in the Arava. Rashi explains that this is referring to the sin of Baal Peor in Shittim, where is described in the last chapter of Parshas Balak, where the daughters of Moab seduced us. And that is Baarava, it means from the word Arvois Moav, the plains of Moav. Mulsuf, Rashi says that this means what the Jewish people said when they were coming to Yamsuf, when they said in Shmos chapter 14, verse number 11, before the Jewish people went to the crossing of the sea, there they said, Hamibli and Kvarim b'Mitzrayim, is that because there isn't enough graves in Egypt, you took us out to be buried in the desert? Bein Paron uvein Toifa velofen, Rashi says that he checked the whole Torah and he didn't find a place that's called Toifel and Lavan. Therefore, Rashi says Bein Paron is what happened in Midbar Paron, which is the story of the spies that is written on Parsha Shlach. And Bein Toifel velofen, Rashi explains, is that what they spoke bad against the man, which was white, from the word Lavan, white, where it's written in Bamidbar chapter 21, verse number 5, where they complained that we are getting disgusted with this light bread because the man was absorbed in the system, meaning that they just spoke bad against the man. V'chatzeirois, Rashi gives two different interpretations of the word chatzeirois. Rashi says one first interpretation that this refers of the fight against Korach, which was in chatzeirois, and then Rashi says Chatzeros is what happened to Miriam, which means that he was rebuking them, that you should have learned from Chatzeros not to speak Lashon Hara. V'dizav, Rashi explains that this is referring to the eagle, the golden calf, and dizav comes from the language dizav, that you had too much gold, and that is the reason why the Jewish people sinned, because Hashem gave them too much gold, and they didn't know what to do with it, therefore they did the golden calf. We see from Rashi that Moshe Rabbeinu's rebuke was sometimes hinted by the name of the places and sometimes hinted by a description of what they did wrong, as Rashi's description regarding Teufel Velavon. We will be consistent with this interpretation and will try to reinterpret certain words in this pasuk to give different ideas of what was the hint of the rebuke that Moshe Rabbeinu was giving to the Jewish people. most of what we are going to say is written in Sefer Shemen Rosh. To explain the ideas, we are first going to introduce the verse in Yirmiyahu chapter 1, verse number 11, which is actually the Haftorah on Parshas Matos, where there the verse says, "Va'idvar Hashem elai leimor," the Hashem spoke to me saying, meaning Yirmiyahu is saying that, "Mo atoroya Yirmiyahu," what do you see, Yirmiyahu? "Va'oimar," and I told Hashem, "that makel shoket aniroya," that I see a almond wood staff, meaning I see a stick made of almond wood. In verse number 12, the verse continues, "Va'yomer Hashem elai," Hashem said to me, "Heitavto lirois," that you have seen well, "ki shoket ani al dvorei lasoisai," because I'm hastening regarding my words to fulfill it. Meaning in the simple interpretation, that Hashem showed Yirmiyahu a almond wood staff, because in Hebrew almond is called shkedim, and shkedim comes from the word shoket, hastening, and Hashem was hinting to Yirmiyahu that Hashem is hastening to fulfill His word, which is basically saying about the destruction of the temple, that Hashem is hastening to destroy the temple, that what He said is going to come very quickly. But Rashi, when Rashi explains why is it that Yirmiyahu saw an almond wood tree, Rashi explains from the Medrash that the almonds, from the time that it blooms until the time that it's fully ripe, it takes 21 days. And those 21 days is exactly the amount of days that we have between the fast of the 17th of Tammuz, which is the day that the city was breached, to the fast of the 9th of Av, which is the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Basically, there is the 3 weeks, the 21 days that we keep mourning for the destruction of the temple. Then according to this interpretation of Rashi, Hashem specifically showed Yirmiyahu a wood of shkedim, of almonds, because Hashem was hinting to Yirmiyahu that the duration of the process of the destruction of the temple is going to take as long as the almonds bloom and become ripe to eat, which is 21 days. And that is what it means, that I'm hastening, I'm shocked, I'm doing it like almonds to do my word, meaning to destroy the temple. The Hashem was telling Yirmiyahu that it will take 21 days from the time the city will be breached to the time of the destruction of the temple. And then on verse number 13, the verse continues and says, "Va'idvar Hashem elai shenis leimor," and Hashem spoke to me a second time saying, "Mo atoroya," what do you see? Meaning he was asking Yirmiyahu what he sees. "Va'oimar," and I said, "Sur nafuach aniroya," I see a bubbling pot, "ufanov miplei tzefoina," and it's bubbling from the northern side. Then in verse number 14, "Vayomer Hashem elai," and Hashem tells me, "Mitzafoin tiposach ora," that from the north the evil will come, "al kol yoyish ve'aretz," on all the inhabitants of the land, meaning the bubbling part signifies upheaval, that things are bubbling, and the face to the north signifies where the evil is going to come from, that the evil is going to come from the north, which is Babylonia, and they are going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and they are going to destroy the city, and they are going to cause upheaval among the Jewish people. Meaning Yirmiyahu had two visions in this first chapter, and we are going to try to understand why is the order of the visions the way it's written. Meaning, why did Hashem first show Yirmiyahu an almond wood staff, and then Hashem showed Yirmiyahu the boiling pot? Why not reverse the order? What is the specific message that Hashem wants to give us by presenting first the almond wood and then the boiling pot? And we are also going to introduce the Rambam in Hilchos Tanis Perek Hei Halacha Aleph, where the Rambam there says that there are days that all the Jewish people fast, and those days are because a lot of bad things happened in those days, and the reason for our fasting is in order to awaken our heart to start in the ways of repentance. And those days of fast will be a reminder of our bad deeds, that our actions are almost like our forefathers, that because of what they did, it caused them and for us now these troubles. And because of the reminder of the bad deeds that we did in those times, and the consequence that happened because of those deeds, that will cause us to repent and change our ways, then we'll confess our sins, and then we'll come to full repentance. Meaning that the Rambam is explaining that the main purpose of fasting is not just to lose weight and not just for you to feel the pain that happened to our forefathers, but the main purpose for fasting is for us to remember the actions and us to change our ways and us repent. As a matter of fact, the Gemara in Tainus, Daf Tezvav 15, explains that when there was fasting, they used to put an elder, which the elder used to give us words of rebuke, and he used to tell us that not the sackcloth and not the fasting cause Hashem to forgive your sins, Elo tshuva umasim toivim, only repentance and good deeds. And the proof is that we see in the story of Nineveh, Yonah chapter 3, where the prophet Yonah came and told the people of Nineveh that Hashem is going to destroy the city, that it's not written that Hashem saw the sackcloth and the fast of the people of Nineveh, and that is the reason why he gave a reprieve to the city. It's written that Hashem saw their deeds, that they repented from their ways, and they gave back everything that they stole. That is what caused Hashem to give a reprieve. And the Gemara also brings a pasuk in Yoel chapter 2, where it says there, Kiru levavchem, that tear your heart, v'al bigdeichem, and don't tear your clothing, meaning that Hashem is more interested for you to do repentance than to tear your clothing. Then we see clearly from those Gemaras that the main purpose of fasting is not just to remember the troubles that our forefathers had in those days. The main purpose is to remember the troubles and remember their deeds and us not do like their deeds and us repent for what we do. And specifically regarding the destruction of the temple, that there we require to think that not only the deeds of our forefathers caused the destruction of the temple, actually our own personal deeds also are causing the destruction of the temple. As the Gemara writes down in Yerushalmi, Yuma Perik Aleph, Aloche Aleph, Kol Dor Shelo Nivra Beis HaMikdash B'yamav, that every generation that the Beis HaMikdash is not built in his days, meaning it's not rebuilt, Ki'ilu hu achrivoi, it's tantamount as you would have destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, meaning that if we would have repented the proper way and we would have rectified the sin that caused the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed, then Hashem would have rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. From the fact that we see that we still don't have a Beis HaMikdash, then it is obvious that we haven't fully rectified what we did wrong. And since we haven't fully rectified what we did wrong, therefore, it's tantamount as if we would have destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Because had the Beis HaMikdash been in our days, we would have caused its destruction. Therefore, when it comes to these days of fasting, the days of Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, the days of Tisha B'Av, where we remember the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, then this is a proper time that we require to repent, and we require to understand that we haven't fully rectified the sin that caused the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed. And what really was the sin of the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed? The Gemara in Yuma Daf Tes 9b says that Mikdash Rishon Mipnei Ma'achorev, why was the first temple destroyed? The Gemara there says Mipnei Gimel Dvarim Shehayu Bo, because of the three capital sins that the people transgressed: Avodah Zarah, idolatry; Vegilu Aroyos, and immorality; and Shfichas Domim, and murder. And the Gemara brings verses to confirm, to give proof that they actually sinned in those crimes. Then the Gemara continues and says, Avo Mikdash Sheni, but the second Beis HaMikdash, Shayu Oiskim, Betoyre VeMitzvois, that the people were busy doing Toyre Mitzvois, Igmilos Chasodim, and acts of kindness, Miplama Chorev, why was it destroyed? The Gemara explains, Miplay Shayoiso Boy Sinas Chinam, because they had gratuitous hatred, Lelam Dachto Tichu, Sheshkulo Sinas Chinam, that gratuitous hatred is tantamount Kenaget Sholosh Averes, as a person would have committed the three capital sins, Avodah Zarah, idolatry, Gilaroyes, immorality, Ushfichas Domim, and murder. The Gemara asks a question. V'migdash rishon lo yayu bo sinas chinam. Was there no gratuitous hatred in the first temple? And the Gemara brings a verse that actually describes how there was gratuitous hatred in the first temple. The Gemara answers, Ahu b'nesi Yisrael have, that only princes of the Jewish people, the leaders of the people, had gratuitous hatred, but the people themselves did not have such gratuitous hatred. But in truth, we must say that even though the Talmud says that the first temple was destroyed because of the three capital sins, idolatry, immorality, and murder, nonetheless, it's clear, even without a verse, that there had to be gratuitous hatred, sinas chinam, in the first temple. Why? Because since the famous Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Emor, Parsha Chavav, Simon Bey says that Doiro Shel David, that the generation of David, Kilon Tzadikin Hayu, they were all righteous people, but Valyadei Shayu Lohem Dalatorium, but because they had people telling on each other, Yoytzin LeMilchama, they used to go out to war, Vayonoiflim, they used to fall, and yet Doiro Shel Achav, the generation of Achav, Kulom Oivdavoy Dezaro Hayu, they're all idol worshippers, but Valyadei Shayu Hayu Bohem Dalatorium, but because there wasn't amongst them anybody that would tell on another person to the government, they used to go out to war and be victorious. So you see clearly that if you don't have sinas chinam, you don't have gratuitous hatred, then even though you are idolater, Hashem makes you successful. Then if Hashem was going to destroy the temple because of idolatry, then it must be that there was some element of sinas chinam, of gratuitous hatred, among certain sectors of the Jewish people. And also it's written in the Medrash Rabbah Parshas Nosoi, Parsha Yutal of Siman Zayin, that Rabbi Elazar ben Oishe Rabbi Elazar Kafar Oimer, that Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Kafar, says, Afilu Yisrael oivdim avoy dezore, that even if the Jewish people are idolaters, v'sholom b'neichem, and yet there is peace amongst them, kaviyachol oimer kudosh baruch hu, Hashem says, Ein ha-satan nogea b'neihem. Hashem doesn't allow the satan to touch us, to criticize us, and the Medrash brings a verse in Hosea to prove that. Then again we have another proof that if there wouldn't be sinas chinam, gratuitous hatred in the first temple, then Hashem would have not punished us for doing idolatry. And if Hashem is punishing us for doing idolatry, that must be that there was no peace among us, and therefore it is clear that there had to be sinas chinam, gratuitous hatred amongst the Jewish people. And the Gemara answers that gratuitous hatred was amongst the leaders, and because of that they weren't be able to shield us from being punished for idolatry and having the temple destroyed. Sefer Shemeroish notes another Gemara in Yuma Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis 52b, where the Gemara there says, when King Yeshayahu, which was a righteous king, but he was the son of the evil king Amon and the grandson of the evil king Menashe, he decided to make repairs to the temple. And when he was making repairs to the temple, he found there a Sefer Torah, which some say that this is a Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote and put it in the holies. And normally that Sefer Torah is rolled to the beginning, but here he found that this Torah was rolled into Devarim chapter 28, verse 36, where the verse there says that Yoylech Hashem Oizcha Ves Malkecho Asher Tokim Alecho, that Hashem will lead you and the king whom you set up over you, El Goya Shaloyodato, to a nation that you do not know, which is the prediction that there is going to be an exile. And King Yeshayahu clearly believed that this is coming, because King Yeshayahu knew that his generation is seeped in idolatry. Therefore King Yeshayahu commanded that the Levim should hide certain vessels, mainly the Aron Kodesh, the Holy Ark, and then the Talmud describes other vessels, and one of the things that he told them to hide was also Makloi Shel Aharon, the staff of Aharon, Ushkodeo, and its almonds, Uprocheo, and its flowers. Of the staff of Aharon is described in Bamidbar chapter 17, but before that we have the story of Korach, where Korach led a rebellion in the wilderness against Moshe Rabbeinu, and it ended tragically. even after the rebellion, Hashem called for a new test to convince everyone that Aharon and his tribe were chosen to serve him. Therefore, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to tell the leaders of each tribe that each should take a staff and write the name of his tribe on the staff. And then Aharon will take a staff and write the name of the tribe of Levite on that staff. And they should put all these staffs in the holies in front of the ark. And it will be that the one that will flourish, that will be the one that Hashem chose. And behold, the next day, Moshe Rabbeinu goes in and he finds that the Aharon's staff bloomed and also gave forth almonds. Moshe Rabbeinu gives back to each leader of the tribe his staff, and Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu that he should put the staff of Aharon in the Holy of Holies in order that this should be a sign for any time somebody wants to argue against Aharon's right of the kahuna, that this should be the proof. So King Yoshiyahu, when he found out that there is going to be an exile, decided to hide away the ark and certain other things, and also particularly this staff of Aharon, which had the almonds and the blooms on it. The question is, why did Yeshayahu specifically decide to hide the staff of Aharon? What symbolism did he see that he needs to hide the staff of Aharon? In truth, this question is not such a huge question, because we could simply say that King Yeshayahu decided to hide everything that was in the Holy of Holies, because he also hid, besides the Ark and the staff of Aharon, he hid the Tzitzenes Amon, the basket of man, which was a basket which had a sample of the man which the Jewish people ate in the desert for 40 years. And he also hid away the Shemen Amishcha, the anointing oil, which was used to anoint high priests and kings and all the vessels of the tabernacle and the temple, and also hid away the gifts that Plishtim sent to the Jewish people. Therefore, we could say simply that the reason he hid away the staff of Aharon is because he hid away everything that was in the Holy of Holies, because the other objects were also in the Holy of Holies. But Sefer Shemeroish gives a different answer. And Sefer Shemeroish's answer is going to actually answer also the question of why was it necessary for King Yeshayahu to hide away the Aron Kodesh, the Ark of Covenant, when we know that the Ark of Covenant could take care of itself, as it happened when the Philistines were able to hijack away the Ark of Covenant, how misfortunes started befalling them and sickness started befalling them until they realized that they cannot handle such a holy item and they send it back to the Jewish people. Then why was it necessary for King Yeshayahu to hide away the Ark of Covenant, and what was the symbolism by him hiding away the Ark of Covenant? Therefore, Sefer Shemeroish says that when King Yeshayahu read the verse that the exile is coming, King Yeshayahu wanted people to know why the exile is coming. What is the reason this exile is coming? Therefore, he decided to hide away the staff of Aharon. As we mentioned earlier, the staff of Aharon came right after the strife of Korach, right after the fight of Korach against Moshe Rabbeinu, where because of his fight, even young children died, because every time there is machlokas, there is division amongst the Jewish people, Hashem punishes everybody, even small children. And therefore, right afterwards, Hashem makes us put the staff, and like that, everybody is going to see that Aharon is the chosen one. Then there won't be any more strife, any more fights amongst the Jewish people to see who is the Kohen, because it's clear cut. Everybody could see that only Aharon's staff bloomed and gave forth almonds. And therefore, Hashem hoped that peace and love would reign amongst the Jewish people. But since, as we mentioned, if Hashem is going to punish the Jewish people, then there must be that the element of sinas chinam is prevalent, that gratuitous hatred is prevalent, that we do not have harmony between one another. Because if we had harmony, then Hashem would not allow the Satan to criticize us. Hashem would not allow any mishap to be caused to us, as Hashem didn't allow in the generation of Ahav. Then clearly there must be that there is some gratuitous hatred amongst us. And as the Gemara mentions that the gratuitous hatred came from the Nesim, from the leaders of the community, therefore King Yeshayahu decided that he's specifically going to hide away the staff of Aharon, which the staff of Aharon symbolized the peace and harmony that we are supposed to have. And since he wanted to symbolize to them that we don't have this peace and harmony, therefore he specifically hid away that staff. And Sefer Shem HaRoish adds that this is specifically the reason why in Yirmiyahu chapter 1, verse number 8, when Hashem asked him, "What do you see?" Yirmiyahu saw an almond wood staff. And the reason that he was able to see the almond wood staff is because Hashem was hinting to Yirmiyahu the reason why he is destroying the temple. True that there is idolatry and all the other capital crimes, but if they would have had peace, then I wouldn't have punished them. But now that you see the almond wood staff, and that signifies the staff of Aharon, which was supposed to bring peace, but yet King Yeshayahu put it away because he realized that the people are not at peace, that the leaders of the community harbor gratuitous hatred one to another, and therefore they can't protect the community. Therefore, the first thing Hashem showed Yirmiyahu was this almond wood staff to teach you that they haven't learned the lesson of the almond wood staff. They don't have harmony and peace amongst them. They fight each other all the time. Therefore, the destruction is coming, and therefore Hashem is hastening his words to come. And according to this, Sefer Shem HaRoish adds, now we also understand the second vision of Yirmiyahu. In the second vision, Yirmiyahu saw a boiling pot, and it was bubbling from the north side, from the Tzofon side. Sefer Shem HaRoish says that the word Tzofon means north, but the word Tzofon means hidden, as we see in the Afikoman, where we call it Tzofon, the hidden, because we hide the Afikoman on Pesach. And Sefer Shem HaRoish explains that the idea that the destruction came is because there was boiling, which signifies turmoil, meaning there was strife among the Jewish people. People were cooking against each other, and it was bubbling from Tzofon. It was bubbling from a hidden part, meaning that since the leaders of the community had sinas chinam, gratuitous hatred, and yet they didn't disclose to anybody, because they used to speak as they are your friend, and they used to stab you in the back as your enemy, therefore it's called Tzofon, it's called hidden. Therefore it's called that it was bubbling from the north side, from the hidden side, which means that we didn't clearly see that there was sinas chinam, but there was sinas chinam, gratuitous hatred from the leaders. And Sefer Shem HaRoish adds that even though we mentioned that one of the reasons for the destruction of the temple is sinas chinam, is gratuitous hatred, and because of that Hashem punishes the three capital punishment, because if you wouldn't have sinas chinam, gratuitous hatred, Hashem would not punish the three capital punishments. But there is another reason that the Medrash in Eicha, in the Psichta Simon Beis, writes down, and the reason is that we despise Torah. That Ravuna Rav Yermia, B'Shem Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, that Ravuna Rav Yermia say in the name of Rav Shmuel, the son of Yitzchak, Matzinu Shavita Rakodesh Baruch Hu Avodah Zarah, we found that Hashem forgave on the sin of idolatry, Val Gilu Aroyos, and on the sin of immorality, Val Shfichas Domim, and on the sin of murder, but V'loi Viter Amoaso Shal Torah. But yet Hashem did not forgive us for shaming and despising Torah. Shenemar, because it's written in Yirmiyahu chapter 9, there it says that they asked Almea of the Oretz, why was the earth lost, meaning why Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash? And the answer wasn't that Hashem destroyed Beis HaMikdash because of idolatry. And it wasn't that Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash because of immorality. And it wasn't that Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash because of murder. The reason that's written there is Al Azvam Estoirasi, that the reason why Hashem destroyed the earth, destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, is because the Jewish people left the Torah. So we see clearly that Hashem would have forgiven us for other capital sins, but since we despise the Torah, we did not learn Torah, Hashem did not forgive that sin. And the Medrash continues that Shmuel Tanel Abishem Rav Shmuel Barami, that Shmuel learned in the name of Shmuel Barami, Emusai Malchus Gozeres Gzera, Gzera Mitzaleches, when the nations of the world decree against the Jewish people, and their decree becomes successful, B'shah Shisrael Mashtichim Divetor La'aretz, only when the Jewish people throw the words of Torah to the ground, meaning when the Jewish people don't learn Torah and they throw the Torah as to the ground, that is the time when the nations of the world decrees against us and they are successful. And the Medrash continues in the name of Rababa Bar Kahana that there were no philosophers for the nations of the world like Bilam Ben Beor and Avnimo Zagredi, and the nations of the world asked these philosophers, can we start up against this nation, against the Jewish people? These philosophers, Bilam and Avnimas, said that go check the house of studies. If you see the children are learning Torah, then you aren't going to be able to cause decrees against them. But if you do not see that the children are learning Torah, then you are able to cause decrees against them. And Bilam and Avnimas say that the reason is because so was promised by the forefather Yitzchak in Bereshit chapter 27, verse number 23, when Yaakov Avinu came to steal the blessings from Esav. He dressed in Esav's clothing and he put the sheepskin over his hands. When Yitzchak touched them, Yitzchak said, Hakoil kol Yaakov, the voice is the voice of Yaakov, Vayodeim de Esav, and the hands are the hands of Esav, which means that any time the Jewish people have Koil Kol Yaakov, they have the voice of Yaakov, which means that they are learning the Torah of Yaakov, then the hands of Esav cannot take effect. That Torah learning acts as a shield, that Hashem does not allow any other decrees from other nations to come against us. Then we see clearly from this Medrash that besides the sin of gratuitous hatred, of sinas chinam, if we have the sin also of despising the Torah, not following what the Torah says, or not learning properly the Torah, or not giving proper honor to the Torah, that sin would cause you to lose the shield of protection from Hashem, and then Hashem will punish you for the other crimes, for the crimes of idolatry, immorality, and murder. But had we learned Torah, then Hashem would have protected us and would have not punished us for those sins. And therefore, says Sefer Shemeroish, that this could be the idea why King Yeshayahu decided that he is going to put away and hide the Aron Kodesh, the Ark of Covenant. True that the Ark of Covenant is able to take care of itself, is able to protect itself, and doesn't need protection, as we saw from the days of the Plishtim, when they tried to take the Ark, what troubles befell them, how Hashem punished those who tried to dishonor the Ark. But here King Yeshayahu was giving the hint to the people why the destruction is coming. And one of the hints was that he put away the staff of Aharon to teach the Jewish people that the leaders don't have unity, therefore the destruction of the temple is coming. And the other hint that he gave was that he hid away the Ark of Covenant. Since the Ark of Covenant symbolizes the Torah, because the Luchos, the tablets, are inside the Ark of Covenant, and King Yeshayahu was saying that the reason why the destruction is coming is because you hid away the Ark of Covenant, that you are not learning Torah, you are despising Torah, and that causes you to lose the protection of Hashem. And once you lose the protection of Hashem, then Hashem will punish you for the three capital sins that you committed, and therefore the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So the fact that he hid the Ark of Covenant, and the fact that he hid the staff of Aharon, which had the almonds, this showed the Jewish people the reason why Hashem is punishing by the destruction. One, that you don't learn Torah, and you despise Torah, and therefore he hid away the Ark of Covenant. And the second reason is that you don't look anyways at the staff of Aharon, which is supposed to remind you of unity, and our leaders have this unity. Our leaders have gratuitous hatred, therefore the troubles of the destruction of Beis HaMikdash will befall us, and unfortunately the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. When I was learning this Sefer Shemeroish, it came to me that there is one time where we actually see that both those things, the Achdus, the unity, and Torah learning come together. And that time is on Parshas Shmos, chapter 19, verse number 2, where the Jewish people are about to receive the Torah. There the verse says, Vayisu mirefidim, that the Jewish people left from Refidim, Vayavou midbar Sinai, and they came to the desert of Sinai, Vayachanu bamidbar, and they rested in the midbar. Note that the word here says bamidbar, in the desert. Vayichan shom Israel, and the Jewish people there rested, neged or opposite the mountain. Vayichan, Rashi notes, it's written in the singular and not in the plural. If we are talking about the Jewish people, then the proper grammar would be Vayachnu Shom Israel, that Israel there rested neged Oar. Rashi explains that here was something very special, that the Jewish people were all considered a singular entity, because everybody was Keish Echot, like one person, Belev Echot, with one heart, meaning that we are so united, we are so in love one to another, we are so connected to one another, that we were as one person with one single heart. And Rashi says clearly, Avroshar kolach hanuyos, but the other places that the Jewish people rested, betarumos uvamachloikos, they always had complaints and arguments, meaning that this is the singular place that the Jewish people were like one person with one heart, that they had total unity, and here we are at Matan Torah, at receiving the Torah. According to this, I wanted to say that since Parshas Dvarim always comes the week of Tisha B'Av, then Moshe Rabbeinu was giving, as Rashi mentioned, a veiled rebuke to the Jewish people, that he gave them rebuke via hints, but also that rebuke is not only for the Jewish people at that time, that rebuke is for the Jewish people in all generations. And the rebuke was that we did not live up to our potential, to our status, when we got to the desert. Meaning, when we got to the desert, we had tremendous achdus, we had tremendous unity, we had so much unity, as Rashi mentioned, that we all became as one person. We became totally connected, keish echot, like one person, belev echot, in one heart. But we fell from that level very quickly. And we also know that the word Orev has multiple interpretations. One of the interpretations of the word Orev is mixed, and the other interpretation of the word Orev is sweet, from the language ki koylech Orev, that your voice is sweet. Therefore, I wanted to say that this is what Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to tell the Jewish people, that he wants the Jewish people to remember Bamidbar, when you were in Midbar, the first time it's written that the Jewish people rested in the Midbar was that pasuk that I mentioned in Parshas Yisroi, that when the Jewish people came to receive the Torah, they rested in the Midbar, and then Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Har, that the Jewish people rested opposite the mountain. So there at that point, we were Barava, we were totally mixed one to another. There was no separation between one Jew and another. We all were like one person with one heart. And that also is specially sweet. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is rebuking. Remember, Bamidbar, how it was when you came into the desert. Barava, when you were all mixed in, when you were all like one person. But now, Mulsuf, don't read that as would be next to the Yamsuf. Mulsuf is from the language Mulsuf, near the end. Take a look what happens near the end. What level are you now near the end? Are you in the same level as you were when you received the Torah? So Moshe Rabbeinu is giving rebuke that we require to have achdus, unity. And the only reason that we receive the Torah is because of that achdus. And by reminding us that we were one when we received the Torah, then Moshe Rabbeinu is automatically reminding us what Sefer Shemeroish is saying, that if we keep the Torah and if we have achdus, then we wouldn't have any problems, we wouldn't have any destruction of the temple. There wasn't going to be a government that is able to make decrees against us, even if we are sinners. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu starts his hints of rebuke by telling us the most important things that caused us to suffer throughout generations and caused us to sin. And he starts by saying, Bamidbar, remember what happened when you came to the Midbar, when you came there to receive the Torah, Boarava, and there you were all one, you were all totally mixed, but look what's happening now, Mulsuf, near the end, what level we have fallen. And Hashem Yisburg should help, that we should first learn Torah and not despise Torah. And also, if we learn Torah with Achdus, with unity, and we have Ahavas Chinam, and we have gratuitous love to one another, then we are able to rectify the reasons for the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed. We are able to manage to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuild, Mimheiro Beyomeinu, Amen.